Welcome to Gateway's podcast. We hope God speaks to you through this message from Pastor Don Brock. For more information about Gateway, please visit www.gatewaybc.com.
Well, today we finish our series on who is Jesus. We've talked about how he was enough. We've talked about how he was sufficient. We talked about his assurance, and today we talk about that Jesus is the resurrection. I've told some of you this story. My mom called me and she said, I want to plan my funeral. I said, okay. And she said, I'm writing my obituary. I said, no, that's what the kids do, you know, me and my sibling. No, I'm going to write it. I said, okay, I don't trust you. And so we went. I went up there and I took her to the funeral home. And and when she got in there, I could tell all of a sudden she didn't want to be there. You know, it was like overwhelming and what we were about to do. And so she just kind of shut down. So I said, all right, I got to lighten this up. So I turned to the funeral director. I said, now, my mom wants to try out the casket, you know, see if it fits. And my mom said, yeah. And then, no, what? What did you say? And then she started looking at me like, what is wrong with you? And so anyway, we got through it. And she said, you know, I know I'm not going in that casket. And I said, that's right. And I know I'm not going into that grave. And I said, that's right. Because she knows that Jesus is the resurrection. And because of his resurrection, she will have a participation in that as well. You know, just in the last service, we had a man to say yes to Jesus. And we baptized four people in the last service. So it was just a great celebration. And so today, I want us to look at a passage in 1 Peter, because the resurrection really is everything. So let's begin reading in verse 3 of 1 Peter 1. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy, not yours, not that you earned it, but it's by the mercy of God that we have been born again. We have been saved. Why? Because you're a great person. No. Because you do good things. Nope. The reason, by God's mercy, you are born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Because of what God did through Jesus, that's how you can be born again. And now we live with great expectation. Now, I love this. You know, some people, they spend their lives waiting on their inheritance. And sometimes it's not much. Sometimes it's a lot, but they don't, you know, they go through it quickly. Sometimes it's it just goes to waste. I mean, inheritances are so unpredictable. But there is another inheritance that this verse talks about. Verse 4, he says, and we have a priceless inheritance. You cannot put a dollar sign on it. We have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you personally, individually, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay, beyond the reach of thieves. And through your faith, so that is our part, God provides the mercy, Jesus provided the resurrection, so our part is faith, we choose to believe. Through your faith, God is protecting you. He's protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, until you receive this inheritance, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So right now, if you have accepted Jesus in your life by faith, there's an inheritance waiting for you. And it just keeps growing. And nothing can ever disturb it, take it away. It'll not rot away. Mary and I were coming back from Charlotte yesterday from I had a wedding to do yesterday evening, and we were driving back, and she says, you know, I know one day somebody else is going to live in our house. I know one day that our cars and our water toys will all just be thrown in the trash dump, you know, because they're worthless. I know that's going to happen. And then we were able to talk about this verse, and it made me think about this verse, that I'm glad we've put our confidence, our retirement, in something that cannot be taken away. It's waiting for us in heaven. There's a story with Jesus that happened 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. Beyond the Garden of Gethsemane and beyond the Mount of Olives, there's a little village called Bethany, still there today. And there lived 3 siblings, Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus. They have unearthed that home and where Lazarus was buried. You can go and you can visit that. And Lazarus became very ill. And we know that Jesus was close friends with them just by the way he talks. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, your friend is sick. You need to come and heal him. We know that if you come, he'll be healed. And Jesus went in the other direction. You see, God had a different plan. And God had a big plan. And so he lingered, he waited, and the word finally came that, you know, Lazarus had died. And so Jesus started making his way. And he got there 4 days after he had been buried. When a Jewish individual dies, they bury them that same day. There's this belief system that they have that the spirit of the person hovers around the grave for 3 days trying to gain entrance back into the body. And on the fourth day, they know that there's no hope. And when a person's been buried for 4 days and they were to come back, you know it's not based on a resuscitation. But it's based on a resurrection. And so Jesus came on the fourth day and the sisters had conversation with him. So we're going to pick up the story where Jesus is talking to Martha. So Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. Now Martha said, he will rise when everyone else rises up on that last day. Yeah, I know that. I get that. But Jesus said something very profound. So don't miss this. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe this, Martha? In fact, do you believe it? You know, sometimes God says no because he's got a bigger plan. When word got to Jesus about Lazarus, Jesus already knew God's plan. Sometimes God says wait to you because God's got a bigger plan. Sometimes God says in a different manner because God's got a bigger plan. When Jesus said, I am the resurrection, that was a massive statement. You see, when he said, I am, immediately in people that heard that, they would have thought back to the story of Moses. And in Exodus chapter 3, where Moses was at the burning bush and his first encounter with God. And God told Moses, you're going to go and set my people free. And Moses kept protesting and coming up with all these excuses. And finally, Moses protested in verse 13, if I go to the people of Israel and tell them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they will ask me, well, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? And God replied to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. So when Jesus intentionally said, I am. He's declaring himself to be God. Make no mistake about that. He's declaring himself to be God. I am the resurrection. I am the bread of life. In John chapter 6, maybe they were thinking about Moses again when the manna was brought down from heaven to feed them those 40 years in the desert. And Jesus again said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. You know, some of you, you're trying to feed yourself off the things this world has to offer. And it's not enough. You'll always get hungry again. It will never satisfy. You'll always get thirsty again. But what Jesus offers us, it satisfies permanently. So are you starving for a genuine life, a real life, a purposeful life? You know, death is going to claim all of us, but only those who know Jesus will know his resurrection. I'll never forget my very first funeral as a pastor. I was 24 years old, and I knew it was going to come, and I was not looking forward to it. I remember a teenager in our youth group started coming, and he's the only person in the family that went to the church. He had a sister and a brother and his two parents. None of them ever went to church. And he made a decision to trust Jesus. He asked Christ into his life and was really growing as a believer. Well, early one morning, I had a phone call that his 20-year-old brother, who had been married less than a year, was in a bad car wreck. And the steering wheel had crushed his chest. So I rushed to the hospital, and I was sitting there with the family as surgeons would come in and out, and they did two open heart surgeries trying to stop all the bleeding and repair the heart that had been damaged so badly. And after about a half a day, they finally came in. The damage is just too much. We couldn't save him. And in that moment, I'm sitting there going, this is incredibly sad. He was not a believer, never considered Jesus. And his younger brother, I think he understood. He'd been a believer long enough to understand the consequences, to understand what was taking place. So the family asked, I was the only preacher they knew, and so they asked me if I would do the funeral. And I prayed a lot. I said, God, I knew I was not looking forward to my first funeral, and now it's a non-believer. What are you doing to me? And I prayed and I prayed, and God just said, preach that my son is the resurrection. I really didn't know the young man. I'd never met him. So other family members would speak about him and give honor to him in that way. And my job was just to tell him about Jesus, those that were there. And within a couple of weeks, both parents and the sister were baptized into the faith. All three asked Jesus into their life and became very faithful to our church. So God used a very sad, sad thing to tell people that he loved them. And that has become the pattern of all my funerals ever since. Probably have done over 400 funerals. And everyone I'll share, Jesus is the resurrection. And that has always been my pattern. Countless funerals that I've done, I've done funerals for babies, for 102-year-olds, funerals for children, way too many teenagers, college students, all ages, young mothers, young fathers. And at every one, I share that Jesus was the resurrection. So let's go back to our original verse in 1 Peter. All praise to God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by His great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and we now live with this great expectation. We have a priceless inheritance. You cannot put a dollar amount on it. An inheritance that is kept in heaven by God Himself, and is kept for you, and it's pure, and it's undefiled, and it's beyond reach for change or decay or from robbers or anybody that would abuse it. And through your faith, that's the one part you have, is your faith. Through your faith, God is protecting you by His power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So here's what you need to know. God has great mercy for you, and He invites you to be born again. Even though Satan thought he had won because death got its hands on Jesus, death could not keep its grip. On that Sunday morning, Jesus defeated death. On that Sunday morning, Jesus defeated the grave. On that Sunday morning, Jesus defeated hell. On that Sunday morning, Jesus defeated sin. On that Sunday morning, Jesus defeated Satan and all of his crowd. And on that Sunday morning, Jesus defeated all the critics. So what are you going to do about Jesus? Why do I believe in Jesus? It's real simple. It's because of His resurrection and the overwhelming evidence concerning it. You know, I can't prove the resurrection scientifically, but there are other ways to prove it. It's because of the eyewitness accounts. In 1 Corinthians, here's what we find. I pass on to you what was most important and what has also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the Scripture said. He was buried, and then He was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the Scripture says. Then after He rose from the dead, Jesus stayed on the planet for 40 more days, and then He went to heaven. And during those 40 days, He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, He was seen by more than 500 of His followers at one time, and most of them are still alive when Paul wrote this, though some have died. Then He was seen by James and later by all the apostles and by many other people. The eyewitness accounts are overwhelming. January 1st, 1985, the Guinness Book of World Records came out with this. They said the most successful attorney, his name was Sir Lionel Lacoue, who succeeded in getting his 245th consecutive murder acquittal on that date. I mean, this was absolutely astonishing because nobody's even come close to doing that. 245 consecutive murder trials, either won by a jury, over a jury, or won on appeal. And so he is a world-class expert on what constitutes reliable, admissible, and persuasive evidence in a court of law. So I thought, hey, I bet it would be interesting to see what he had to say about the resurrection. And he was not a believer at the time, but he went on a spiritual journey. And Sir Lionel Lacoue, he took his expertise at the law and went through the question of whether the resurrection of Jesus Christ would pass the test of legal evidence. And here was his conclusion. I say unequivocally that the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ is so overwhelming that it compels acceptance by proof which leaves absolutely no room for doubt. Now, I'm not a believer because of a lawyer's evidence, but it strengthens what I already do believe. You see, Jesus stands or falls on the resurrection. This is how important it is. Here's what Paul had to say. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless, and you are still guilty of your sins. He said, your faith does you no good whatsoever. And the day you die, then you will face the wrath of God for the payment of your sins. You will spend eternity separated from God, paying for your sins. If the resurrection didn't happen, you have no hope. Praise God, it did. And all of my life is based on this, the resurrection of Jesus. A week ago, Mary and I were in Charlotte with Mac and his family. Cyrus was in a play. She was playing Nemo in the Nemo play, and she did great. Mac and I sat there and cried most of the time. And you know, when Nemo couldn't find his dad, and he started saying, "Dad, Dad, where are you?" And I thought Mac was going to jump up and say, "I'm right here. I'm not going," you know. I had to hold him down. Well, Harvey is 12 years old now. And so the whole time we were at the house, I was just looking at Harvey and just thinking about, you know, what he was thinking and just looking at his size. And I was thinking other things because I was that age. I was 12 when my dad died 58 years ago. And so I was trying to imagine what I was feeling and thinking as a 12-year-old. Now, obviously, I didn't tell Harvey that because I didn't want to freak him out about his own dad. But I did talk to Mac about it. I said, you know, Harvey's now that age when my dad, he said, yeah, you know, I was thinking about that too. And then later, when I got back home, Mac called me. He said, I'm telling Harvey a story about Grandpa. He said, what was the story you told me when I was a little kid about some doves? Tell me what that story was. I said, yeah. When my mom, after the funeral, about a week later, she went out to the cemetery by herself. And when she walked up to the cemetery to where Dad was buried, there were these two doves sitting on the grave. And so she didn't think anything of it, and she walked over to the grave, and they just flew up, and there was a tree right next where my dad's buried, and they sat on the lower limb right above the gravesite. And so she was there just kind of setting up flowers and reflecting, and an elderly gentleman came by who was the caretaker of the cemetery, and he said, is this a family memory? She said, yes, this is my husband. And he said, well, I want to tell you, there's something that's been going on this week that I've never, ever seen in all my decades of caring for this cemetery. He said, after the funeral, when everybody had left and I was, you know, taking care of the gravesite, there were two doves that started sitting on your husband's grave. And when I walked up, they immediately flew up to the limb on the tree there. And then when I would step away, they would fly back down and just sit on the grave. And he said, I didn't think anything of it at first, but the next day they were still there. And I'd walk over to them, they'd fly up to the limb, and then when I'd walk away, I'd watch them fly back down. He said, they've been here over a week, just sitting on the grave. And they're there all the time. I come by and check on them just to see if they're still there. Well, we didn't know what to make of that, so Mom went to see the pastor, and he started sharing with her. He says, you know, in the Bible, when Jesus was baptized, the Bible says that the Spirit of God came down and lit upon Jesus in the form of a dove. And the dove represents peace. And the pastor says, I really believe God used those two doves to remind you, because my mom was 34 years old with three kids. And I believe God sent a sign to you that everything's going to be okay. My presence is with you. The Bible tells us that God has a very special place in his heart for widows. And that became a very important verse for my mom. And in that same verse, it says that God is the father to the fatherless. And so that gave us great comfort to think that God himself is taking care of my mom. And God himself has become my dad. And he's looking out for me. That gave me great peace, great comfort. And that God would do something like that just to give her assurance, everything's okay. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, no matter what you face, everything's okay. Even when death puts its grip on you, it cannot hold you. Even when sickness comes its way, it cannot keep you from God's love and care and comfort. One last verse. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The resurrection is the basis of your salvation here. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. Here again, your faith, you believe, that's your part. By your faith, by your believing in your heart, you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. And here it is. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Will be saved. Will be saved. Let me close with one last quote. A.W. Tozer. He said, Jesus Christ knows the worst about you, the absolute worst. Nonetheless, he is the one who loves you the most. Let that comfort you. Let that give you peace. Let's pray. Father, the resurrection is everything. Absolutely everything. So I pray now that if there's one here today that is living in fear, living with regret, living with shame, that they will choose by faith that you indeed raised your son from the dead. And they can find peace and forgiveness, and that you will fill them with your presence. Thank you for giving us the proof of the resurrection to give us assurance of our salvation, that Jesus is exactly who he said he was, and he said, I am. Thank you, Father. Amen. I'll be here at the front. If you want to settle this deal about Jesus, you come and you just simply tell me, I choose to believe. Let's stand as we sing.